Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the daily dose of, you know, the lighter side of genocide. A little bit of conspiracy, a little bit of comedy. Because, hey, look, everything's so freaking scary. If you don't have a coping mechanism, like cackling, for instance, how the heck are you going to deal with it? Really? Speaking of cackling, there's my very special guest, Heather.
Sorry. I didn't know I was on mute.
Oh, well, it matters not. A cackle is a great introduction, methinks. So welcome.
Hi, Vinny. Hey, can I speak to Suzanne? I don't know if she's still on the... Is she still there, or...?
No, she's not, but I'll pass on the message if you broadcast it on air. No worries.
Right. Hi, Suzanne. I would like to just thank you for setting such a great example for all mothers around the world. The reason we do this is for our children. And as a mom, I understand what you go through, and I appreciate your integrity. Both you and Vinny are just outstanding examples for all of us. So thank you. How are you doing, Vinny?
Well, you know, somewhat fabulous is my standard response, and quite frankly, I feel like I'm sort of high, you know, because I interviewed Gerald Celente earlier, and I was like, oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah, I missed that. I'll have to go back and listen to it. While I'm thanking people, thank you, Sarah. Right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's who deserves the thank you. I mean, she's out there working for all of us.
Yeah, well, she does a really hard job, and like I'm a 6'4" burly guy, and yeah, I physically would be a great challenge to do the gardening work that she does. It's actually really, really physical work.
She's big time. You're lucky. I don't know how you got so lucky. Well, you deserve it. You're a good guy.
Yeah, well, we actually got met being pimped out. Like, I was interested in this girl who was a friend of Sarah's, and then she didn't like me, though, so she invited me round to her house, and Sarah was there as well, and she got us both drunk, and we hooked up, and the first night we met, we started living together and haven't broken up since. You know, like, that was it, just kind of like love it first at first sleep.
Ah, God, you're so funny. You know, thank you, Sarah. Just, if she's listening, please, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So before you...
Before you say that, she never listens to the show. She hates my radio voice. And she hates my singing voice even more.
Oh, I like your singing. You're pretty good. It's kind of like... stunning at first when you start, because it's kind of like an unexpected singing voice that you have, but I like it. It's Sarah, poor Sarah. Oh my god, the hell that
There's been times when I've been playing one of my songs and she walks into the house, you know, home from where she's going, Vinny, for goodness sake, turn it off.
Right. She probably says other stuff that's not allowed on FCC, right?
Yeah. Like, you know how some people say, oh, hate's too strong a word? In this instance, no, it's not.
Oh, I, my poor husband, I hate on him all the time, too. Hey, while I'm at it, my husband, if you're listening, which you're not because you're a dead asleep, stupid, fat, pig American watching football, so you're never going to hear this, but
that's
I love
a bit
you.
Harsh. And
what'd you say, Vinny?
Well, that's a bit harsh.
It's nothing I haven't said to his face before. I mean, but like you say, you can't wake people up. They just have to wake up on their own, and it's just, he's a hard one. So anyway, at least, like, Sarah looks at the movies and, like, Kim Kardashian's Masonic Floor and recognizes it. You know what I mean? She gets that. Like, if I tried to point that out to my husband, he'd put me in the loony bin. Immediately.
Yeah, it was really funny. Like, Sarah, every now and again, Vinny, look at the all-seeing eye pyramid on his head. I go, I love it when my baby notices the Illuminati symbolism.
That's my baby. That's awesome. All right. I know you know, I'm just going to do it for you. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do. Okay. This isn't about who I am or what I have done. I need to get a message out that's very important. You know, I'm trying to transcend the ego thing, right? We all have to work on that. Let's just say that now I'm getting nervous. I've been through hell dodging bullets all of my life, but what I will say is I am a member of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and I have a question for you, Vinny. This is serious.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? Do you want to defeat the scumbags, or do you want to just sit around and bitch about them on the radio? I mean, do we want to really do this?
You know what? I honestly don't want to fight. I don't even want to be doing this radio show. I don't want to be doing any of it. I'm doing it because I have to.
Right. Because now you're dependent on the income, you mean?
No, I do it because I don't have a choice. I say what the hell's the point in trying to work in a slave job that accomplishes nothing and does no good to anybody and inspires nobody. I have this responsibility now, and I feel obligated to do it. And I understand that there's not a whole lot of fun to be had in this movement, and I try to inject that unique little bit of, you know, humor and hilarity and comedy into it. I'm sort of like, I'm not the frontline kind of guy anymore, like going out to the scumbags trying to defeat them and whatever. I'm more like the backline kind of person, you know, the person who patches you up and heals you after you come back from the front line. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. I've got my part to play.
Yes, yes, yes. Good for you. Okay.
But the answer is ultimately yes. I want these people frickin' defeated.
Okay, then can I speak to your audience for a minute?
No, it's illegal.
That's my audience. All right. Seriously, I would like to just speak directly to my colleagues and members of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. If everyone does what I'm going to suggest, then we, the people, can take over their luxurious underground spas and hotels and throw a big global party. I will personally promise, as a member of the AICPA, I will personally reconcile all the intercountry accounts and make sure it all ties. You guys know I crush that. That's what I do. I'm good at it. And I will take that responsibility on. I will make sure the accounts balance at the end. We have to first invert the pyramid and take our planet back from the bankers.
Are you talking about using a bit of creative accounting to seize all the mega bankers' wealth?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Well, that really ties into what I was talking with Gerald Celente. You know how they made up all this debt and it doesn't really exist? Well, if we pretend that it doesn't actually exist, then problem solved. And I think all these bankers, they got all their wealth because of fraud and BS. So if we pretend that all their fraud and BS and wealth doesn't exist anymore, problem solved again.
Yes. So you beat me to the punch. Now, can I explain what all that really means? Let me talk to the accountants, though, for a minute. Accountants understand that we are here now witnessing the final roll-up of all global corporations. So we've got to get it done this year. Let's work ethically out in the open and from the inside of our corporate accounting offices to do the right thing. Okay, here we go. So quick history lesson for non-accountants listening. The modern double entry bookkeeping system was first, codified in the 15th century or something by scumbag kings and queens of that time. They're the ones who changed the natural law equation from having assets equal equity to assets equals liability plus equity. Just like you said, we made it all up. A double entry accounting system is basically a bunch of rules for recording financial information in a system in which every transaction or event changes at least two different general ledger accounts, with one side of the transaction being called a debit and the other side of the transaction being called a credit. So in deciding which account has to be debited and which account has to be credited, the golden rule of accounting is supposed to be used. So this is accomplished using the equation, like I said, that they changed and inserted, you know, the liability in, assets equals equity. It's supposed to basically serve as an error detection tool. If at any point the sum of all debits for all the accounts don't equal all the corresponding sum of the credits for all the other accounts, we're supposed to call it out. So it follows that the sum of debits and the sum of credits must be equal in value. The problem, Vinny, is that they messed up the equation by inserting the liability loophole. Just like, and I'm sorry I missed you talking with Salente earlier, but they created the liability loophole so they can just, you know, do whatever they want and rob the people of all their energy before natural law catches up to them. And I think that it's close. I think that natural law is catching up. So what does this all mean? Are we supposed to, can you like stop me if we're about to go, you're going to stop me if we're going to break, right? So I don't just bore you. Okay. Are you bored yet? Are you tuned out yet?
Well, I'm still waiting for the crunch to come. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the equity is the sweat, just pure sweat part of the equation. Liability is debt. Like you said, it's all baloney. Listen, these guys are going to be forced, the new accounting equation is simply going to have to be assets equals equity. So people of China, India, Russia, Africa, and Brazil are under the impression that they've been doing the sweating on the westernized banking system world's behalf for the last 100 years. Since the Federal Reserve's inception, okay? So that's the globalist justification for the planned collapse of Japan, which is already, I mean, they already Fukushima'd them, right? So they're gone. Because, see, they went to the Western banking system, right? They went with the liability loophole. So, you know, USA is basically next. And I wish I could... I don't want to just throw Australia and New Zealand in there because I can't, I don't know. I know a lot about Japan and
oh, we're already in there. Look at it this way. You walk into the Reserve Bank of New Zealand office and behind the front desk on the wall is a giant red shield. What does Rothschild mean in German? It means red shield, doesn't it? We're already in there. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, and they earthquaked you guys, didn't they? In Christchurch.
Oh yeah, we had umpteen different HAARP related reports and things of that nature going on in that day. All have been confirmed. And if anybody wants to like look at that, just search HAARP on my YouTube channel. There should be an interview in there with Ben Vidgen, I think, to sort you up in that regard. But yes, I'm sorry, Heather. Continue.
Yeah. Okay, so back to members of the AICPA. Listen up. The reason that the elite thinks that their actions are justifiable is because they have the masses believing in their fraudulent, backwards debits and credits system. So if we are all consenting to this, then they win. So we as ethical accountants have to invert the pyramid from the inside in a kind, ethical way.
So you're talking about... It's kind of like you're starting an organization called Accountants for Accountability.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, because what I'm going to do is basically send this to all my accounting friends in the United States, and I have a lot of them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it's this is my way of talking to all of them at once, on a show, on an ethical show that you know I believe in. I mean, I've been listening to you forever, and I love you, and I appreciate you, and anyway, so. We as accountants basically have to stop cooking the books for the elite bankers. So here's what we do. We stop hiding debits in the GL accounts that are liability accounts. Debits belong on the asset side. If your boss tries to tell you to shove debits on the liability side of the balance sheet, say, no, I won't do it. You make that journal entry. Don't do it anymore, guys. We're not going to do it. We're going to bring in the accounting equation the right way, and we're going to make sure that the American people are not set under the bus because the elite, you know, tried to warn them and they were too asleep to realize what was happening. It's not their fault, you guys. Everything starts with you, okay? You have to be the change that you want to see out in the world. So you stop cooking the books, basically. Okay, we know what goes on with the auditors. We know it's at the top. You know, at the end of the day, it's the big boys club in Israel. They all report to Israel and Mormons. God, I hope I don't get shot for saying. Oops.
I think I've said worse on this show.
So stop hiding debits in GL accounts that are liability accounts, guys. The masses think that when their bank account is credited, they're getting paid. But we know it's really the other way around. Cash accounts are increased with debits, not credits. It's all upside down. So that's what, see, Vinny, you know, we bankers, they call credits and debits, they reversed it. They reverse natural law.
Oh, that's interesting. Hey, Heather, we're coming up to break now. We've got you for the full hour. And I want you to define for me after the break about this whole credit versus debit thing and how they've actually reversed it. And I assume it's a very simple process. Most scams are quite simple. Otherwise, yes, that just wouldn't work. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go touching that dial.
It's all about organized crime and creative accounting so that we can take control of the United States and every other piece of crap country out there for the benefit of our prime sinisters, our El Presidentes, and Rothschild banking scum. Welcome back to my very special guest, Heather, as well.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey.
Now, defining creative accounting, credits and debits. Could you define what a credit is, what a debit is, and how the two have been mixed up by the bankers?
Okay, do you want me to go over the equation again? Because the natural law equation, right, the universal natural law, if you're going to be, you know, in the business of money, okay, and have a balanced ledger, you need the debits and the credits to always equal, not even off by a penny. They always need to equal, okay? I probably didn't explain it very well the first time. The double entry bookkeeping system, it is my understanding that before the 15th century was honest, per se. It was debits equaled credits, right? What the bankers did, basically, in the 15th century, and then in 1913 when the Federal Reserve came along, is the credit side of the equation was expanded to include debt in addition to equity. That's fraudulent.
That's usury, isn't it?
Yes. Did you get my email about usury being against the Muslim religion?
Well, usury is against New Zealand law as well. I looked up the legislation myself, and it's actually illegal in New Zealand. And yet, it's rampant.
No kidding. No kidding. Absolutely. So, hey, you know what? I've got this on my mind. Can I just get a little bit of advice? Any of your listeners are new to this NWO stuff. It can be really scary, guys. The rabbit hole is so deep, and sometimes it's traumatizing. Don't get too dependent on the internet and get emotionally involved with people you don't know face to face. It's very hard not to get close with awake people across the globe. But if they take the internet down, all you're going to be left with is your local community and your family. So just keep that in mind. It's hard. I know, because, you know, we find each other and we want to talk about all this crazy stuff. But if you can't look a person in the eye, then it's just hard to trust them, because we don't know what they're going to throw at us, right? We don't know what.
I take a very carte blanche approach. I trust everybody until they violate my trust.
Right, right. And, you know, hey, okay, we need to be a little bit easy on the hot-blooded Italian. Look, he just learned about Satanism, like, literally 2 days ago. He's, like, way behind you, my friend Vinny. We have to have empathy and sympathy. He just doesn't get it yet. When he gets it, he'll understand, you know, what happened. But I'm very intuitive. I know what goes on behind the scenes. I'm kind of... I just feel bad for all parties involved. I think everyone is a good, genuine person with integrity. He just needs to learn not to play as dirty. You know what I mean? So we just have to be patient. Your attitude is wonderful. I mean, you're doing exactly what you need to be doing. So thank you. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
Could we change the topic, please?
Yes, because otherwise I'm really going to get shot, right? I'm sorry. You want to talk about what my friend gave her child for lunch the other day? So I went to visit my friend who just had a baby, her fourth child, and she lives in a pretty good sized mansion. Her husband, he's in the Air Force. He's by default not his. He's a great person. He's a great father and a great husband. You know, but he's working for the bad guys in the military, right? So I went to her house the other day, and her house is a mess because the kids aren't being fed properly, because she's sitting on that damn Facebook all day long, just worried about, you know, whatever she's worried of, you know, Facebook propaganda, what Kim Kardashian, I don't know what they're talking about on Facebook. But her daughter said to her mom, "Mommy, my stomach hurts." So I asked my friend, "What's wrong with her stomach?" She goes, "Well, she has, you know, plumbing issues, and we went to the doctor, and they basically told us there's nothing we can do except for change her diet to, you know, natural foods, no fried foods, no mac and cheese, no Chick-fil-A." And she was, like, mad about it. She's like, "What am I supposed to feed her? She won't eat anything." And as she's doing this, she's making, you know, her lunch. She took out one of those disgusting, like, fat, frozen garlic toast things that they make in China and ship to us in the U.S. and call it garlic bread. We don't know what's in it. You know what I'm talking about? Those big, thick Texas garlic toasts that we like in America?
Yeah. Okay. I haven't seen one, but it sounds like it's really yummy and incredibly bad for you.
Exactly. I mean, it's like immediately you eat one and you immediately get cancer, probably. I don't know. But so she took that out of the freezer, put it in the microwave, nuked it for 30 seconds.
Microwaving it as well. Jeepers creepers. The second you eat something like that, you know, a tumor will come out of your cheek or something like.
Yeah, this poor child is 6 years old. She, and listen to this. She did that, and then she put powdered sugar on top, cut it up into six small pieces, put it on a plate, and said, here you go, honey. As she's telling me, the doctor told her what the solution was, but she's, you know, too busy being mad at her husband, and, you know, I don't know. So it's just sad. It's,
well, see, here's the thing. When you're poisoned, your ability to think gets diminished massively. So even when you're confronted by somebody like a doctor saying, hey, you can't do that anymore, your ability to think is so small that you think, well, he says that this will kill me, but I say that I can't be bothered thinking of something alternative that'll actually save my life. I'd rather die and kill my child while I'm at it.
Yeah, and it's just all. That's why the elite think that, you know, these people deserve what's coming to them. You know, we've given them all the rules. We've told them what to do. It's all out in the open. The, you know, everything's out in the open, but they're choosing not to look at solutions. So, you know, they deserve to get the rug pulled out from under them. You know, while they usher in Agenda 21 and whatever they're doing. So.
Well, you know, there is a lot to be said for that mentality, and I know some truthers who have started off on our side trying to do what's good for mankind, and then decided that mankind deserves what it's going to get. And I think one of the founding fathers, it might have been Thomas Jefferson, is that people get the government that they deserve. And I'm not sure if I align with that mentality, like. At all, I think it's more like getting what you deserve should be a positive thing, and getting what you deserve on a negative spectrum, a sort of thing. It's kind of like you're taking responsibility for punishing people for their inadequacies, and I don't think unless there's a jury and a judge and some form of due process to arbitrarily judge people and believe that they should be exterminated for simply being ignorant. I don't think that the death penalty is an appropriate punishment for that kind of scumbaggery.
And that's why you are. That's why you're amazing. I mean, I absolutely. I agree, and that's. I mean, and so I get bummed out because I just feel like, oh my God, what can I do to help, you know, without, but I guess this, you know, this is what we can do. We can just, I don't know, sit around on radio stations from across the world and talk about it. But, you know,
with any problem, especially problems with relationships, as far as I found, the less you talk about it, the less gets resolved.
Okay. Mm. So, let me ask you this. Do you think that you would be happy if you can just do a radio show, you know, and like sing or, you know, laugh and you know, talk about something fun and, you know.
I'm already doing it, Heather.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, see, you've transcended everybody else. You know what I mean? You're like way ahead of the game, and there are a lot of people that are waking up to this stuff that are not there yet, and it's so easy to get frustrated. But I'm talking to myself here. You know, we just all have to just keep remembering, be patient and kind. And I'm so in love with Suzanne Posel. She's right on the money with what she's doing.
Hands off, though. David might get jealous.
Oh. Hey, I saw your tweet the other day about I'm for gay marriage. If What did you say?
I'm actually wearing the shirt right now. It says, "I support gay marriage, but only if both chicks are hot."
Hey, you know, I heard you guys talking about the IQ. I'm just wondering, not because it matters, but just, I bet your IQ is like off the charts, like 180. Have you ever had your IQ tested?
I did back in the day. I think it was like 125 or something. It was just a little bit above average. My brother actually learned how to create IQ tests. And what's interesting is once you learn how to create IQ tests, you're not actually allowed to take another IQ test because you know how they work. Because you know how they work, and you can cheat on them.
There you go. And that's the problem with the accounting profession is, you know, I've always wondered, they make all these TV shows and movies about what goes on behind the scenes in law firms and in hospitals. You know what I mean? There's all these shows on TV all the time and movies about ER and emergency rooms and the drama.
Great. Grey's Anatomy. See, before I watched it, I thought Grey's Anatomy was about alien autopsies.
I mean, there's no way your IQ is 125. I say 180. That IQ test was rigged.
Well, see, and again, it was taken a long time ago when I was a child, and this is long before I started learning about scumbaggery. And what's interesting, and I think Suzanne brought this up before you came on the show earlier today, is that IQs were actually a way of measuring the population's general intelligence for the benefit of eugenicists and eugenicists only. And I remember what was hanging up in the library of Waiheke High School, where I was, you know, educated in the... I hate being educated. I love learning things, but I hate being educated. It said... Your I will is more important than your IQ.
There you go. That's beautiful. I love that. I absolutely love that. Oh, you know, speaking of, Suzanne did a great article on the I think it's HR 748 with 18 to 25 year old U.S. American, basically, you know, the young guys and girls maybe needing to serve the government from 18 to 25, like basically a forced military situation. I'm probably saying
it wrong. She was talking about that on the thing. It's like a modern new age Hitler Youth sort of thing, except it's the Obama Youth.
And the thing is, see, nobody can say anything about Obama. I mean, God, they planned this well in advance, I'm sure. Nobody can say anything about him because then they're going to be accused of being a racist. And that is a huge issue that I deal with every single day in my local community. I mean, there is seriously like a race war, and people are very invested in their race. And...
Oh, yeah. It's happening here, too. No, nobody can say anything about anybody of any other race and not be called a racist. And that's what's interesting, is that racists are people who hate people of a different ethnicity, right? And attack them and call them names and things like that. And so how people protect others against quote-unquote racists is to call them racists and rednecks and do name calling and to attack them all the time. You know better.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, the universe really is holographic. I mean, it's a big giant mirror, and we're just, are we going to break? Sorry.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Thank you for noticing. We'll be right back after this short commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Back in a minute. Unity, please don't
desert me. To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. Then they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Have your dessert, you prick. Give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary. Yeah, give me a whiskey sour. Yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. You want to know what it's like? You can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. Don't stop! 19 hours, just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off and you feel like you're in New Zealand. You certainly won't feel like you're home. They say that New Zealand's beautiful, and I don't know, because by the time I got over the jet lag, I had to go. And it seems to me, if you're going to travel for 19 hours to another country, when you get there, they should have the common courtesy to speak another language. I did not fly all this way to hear English again.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand in English. And my very special guest is Heather, who's a, well, I guess she is a creative accountant, doesn't she? Heather, welcome back.
Hi. Hey.
Where would you like to take it from here?
Oh, well, I have a question for you, actually. Do you remember Bill Rockbrader? You interviewed him, like, a year ago, Do you remember?
It doesn't ring a bell, honestly. I interview so many people every week.
I know. Bill Brockbrader is a very brave Navy SEAL who basically came out and, and said, hey, look, we created the problems in Iraq in the 90s. You guys talked about it with reference to he allegedly belonged to SEAL Team 9.
Oh, what you mean? You mean Bill Wood?
Well,
that was what he was. That's what he was going by when he came on my show. He was it was exposing the SEAL Team 6 debacle, wasn't he?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Now I remember.
Okay. So have you heard from him? Or because you know he was thrown in jail. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay, so do you have an update or no? You don't know?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay, well, if for some reason Bill is listening, much love to you, Bill, because you're another one who has utmost integrity, and you basically came out and you exposed yourself, you told the truth, you said, hey, look, I slept with a 16-year-old girl, and they basically threw it back in my face when I, you know, stood up to the government and put me in jail for it.
See, the key part of the word integrity is gritty.
Huh.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
If you're willing to go into the nitty-gritty and get down to it.
There you go. Yes. I love it. There are so many, brave men in the military who've come forward and, you know, said, I'm not doing this anymore. And, you know, they've gotten suicided, whatever, car accidented, jailed. I mean, I just feel so lucky and blessed to, you know, every day wake up every morning and see my son's face and, have such a loving husband, supportive husband who, you know, is good to me. And you know, while these brave people are being suicided every day, everyone, if, you know, living or dead or whatever, if you know, you can hear me, thank you. Because we wouldn't be where we are without you. So don't you think, Vinny?
Well, you know, there's this old saying that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. The problem is, it's not for the many to decide, it's for the few to decide whether or not they want to sacrifice themselves for the many. And some others believe it's the opposite way around, that nobody really has any value except but to the many, and they should be sent off to die and be sacrificed as lambs on the altar of satanic scumbaggery for some reason.
Right.
And again, that doesn't wash with me, man. That is not the way to do it. Unless people have really individual freedom and the choice to stand up on their own two feet and what have you, they don't really deserve any credit for dying for it. And what happens is, in our society, is that, especially in institutionalized environments such as law school, med school, boot camp, things like that, they attempt to whittle away your individuality so that your ability to think by yourself and not think as part of the group is almost sandpapered away to virtually nothing. And those who can really go through that process and come out on the other side still a thinking individual person and still do the right thing, regardless of the consequences to themselves, it speaks very well of the human race as a whole. And it is these people I hold in high regard myself. They've sacrificed much more than I am personally willing to. You know, honestly, they're better men than me.
No, well, that's not true. I mean, you're very brave too, and you're extremely important in the truth movement. You need to give yourself a little more credit. Hey, by the way, you know that video you did on explaining Israel and Palestine and Zionism and Holocaust, and where you're like, oh, the Holocaust, oh, that, you know which video I'm talking about?
Is it the one with Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane and Nigel?
No.
The recent one?
Well, I don't know, but it was a really cleverly quick way to basically explain the whole reason why nobody can say, you know, oh, the Jewish, you know, the Zionists, they're because, you know, they can always throw out the Holocaust card. Whichever video it was, it was brilliant. But I saw an article today about, and this was like on MSN, like mainstream media, just announcing it, just brazen, just let's just tell you what really happened in history. We lied to you. This was like on the front page of, I think MSNBC or something about, Nat Butler, a slave master in the 1800s or whatever, or 1700s or 1800s, a slave master who himself was black. and that there were many slave masters that were actually black who sold and, you know, bartered using, black Americans. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, they've probably set it up so that the slavery card can always be used, and that's what's being used now, today. That's what we're witnessing, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the key is to not get emotional about issues as well, because I find that basically once you start yelling and screaming and getting incensed and inflamed over particular issues, that's when you've lost your fact and reason-based footing, which is the only way I feel that you can factually and chronologically win any form of argument. So if you're going to throw out demonization terms, insults, things like that, in order to discredit somebody else's information, it just means you ain't got really information of your own to back it up, and
that's
you don't
exactly
fully understand
right
what you're talking about.
That's exactly right. See, you're so way ahead of the game. There's all this infighting within the truth movement, and I mean amongst just like the average people in the truth movement. You know, there's just so much ego, and there's just so much.
Coming into this coming into this line of work, you take your old lines of work with you, you know, wherever you've been, there you are again, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And people don't know the difference, I don't think, between being an honest person with integrity working for a slave master doing evil things and being an honest person with integrity working for yourself and doing the right thing. I don't think they understand the difference fully.
Yes, yes. Hey, Vinny, is it okay if I cut out a couple of minutes early? You can, I'm sure.
We've got about a minute 45 on the broadcast left.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm like.
So if you want to cut out early, you got it.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me on. I think my family needs me now. Much love to you and yours and everyone be safe. Bye.
Before you go, is there a website or something like that where you've disclosed this information, or is this basically it and you want to remain secret, like squirrel?
Yes.
All right. Heather the Secret Squirrel, fare thee well, attend to your family and your flock and whatnot. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, there she goes. And there we are. Right on the break time, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a very good show today. It has indeed. And you know, also, I understand that basically if you keep talking about infighting and doing infighting all the time, suddenly your listeners don't want to listen to you anymore. And then because you've engaged in the infighting, you're suddenly fighting against yourself and defeating yourself quite succinctly while you're at it. That's why I don't want to mention no names. I don't want to do it. But sometimes you just can't help yourself. You know, sometimes when somebody does something really nasty or whatever, you just get kind of angry and you can't stop yourself from saying what you feel and what you want and what you want to do. And yet you have to, for the greater good of yourself and for everybody else. It ain't a lie. It's a white lie. We'll be right back.